Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We have our colleague check-in with Grant Paulson coming up at 8:20. Logan Paulson joins us at 9, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast. But joining us right now, we talk to him every week, is our pal John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
What up, fellas?
How are you, buddy?
John, can you take us through the reaction in the press box? And obviously, you know, you guys are not there to root for the team. You're professional. You're doing a job. But there had to be some sort of, like, audible reaction when Jaden was scrambling around for 12 and a half seconds, then launches the ball. Noah Brown eventually catches it on a tip. Like, what was the reaction like from you and people in the press box when that happened? Like, were there audible gasps? What was that scene like?
I'll be honest. Somebody else asked me this after the game. I don't remember because it was such –
usually pretty quiet.
It's quiet, but there's usually gasps because I was telling someone else, like, you know, everybody's a sports fan. Mm-hmm. You're not a robot.
Right.
Like, you're not going to sit there and, like, oh, wow, big play. It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there was a lot of that. I just don't remember because the focus immediately goes to what just happened. In your mind, you're like, you're trying to process, like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, like, my first thought is, like, watching the scene was unreal. And so I don't even remember the noise because it also, like, the noise in the stadium, it was everybody at the same time. You know, like, sometimes on those plays, on a big play where you may hear someone, like, gasp or something like that, like, well, it might stick out more because you don't hear the crowd because maybe the crowd doesn't react. You know what I mean? It's just, but that was such a momentous play and the sound in the stadium, I think, would have, you know, dwarfed anything, right? So, like, I honestly don't remember. It was so surreal.
Well, you know, it's funny, John. I don't know if anybody's... We after the game, my wife had the idea. She said, let's ask Alexa, what's the percentage of Hail Marys that succeed in the NFL?
I think it's like 1.4%.
No. Chance. It was like, in the last 10 years, it's like 9%. It's
really?
If that's accurate, right? So, in you know, it's a little like, yeah, because, you know, we have seen them. We see way more of these than we see onside kicks. I mean, they've regulated onside kicks out of the equation. So that was kind of interesting to learn that. What was most telling to you about the play as a whole? Was it sort of the preparation, everybody being in the right spot where they need to be? Or was it like Jaden just buying time with 13 seconds to me was the most remarkable part?
Well, I think to me it starts there because – it takes a lot of poise and confidence to buy that much time to allow your guys to get into the right spot, et cetera.
You didn't rush it at all. I mean, it was crazy.
So I think, right. And I start there and then it's to everybody doing their job. And meanwhile, you know, you have, I mentioned this on the podcast because somebody had this great camera angle of it of Tariq Stevenson, like, taunting the crowd, like that highlighted the example on that play. You have one side where you have a rookie quarterback keeping his poise and
locked
moving
in
around, buying time, and then making an unbelievable throw, a perfect throw to get that little bounce. But then you have the other four guys going where they need to go. Like you, when that play is stopped, Noah Brown's exactly where he should be. Terry McLaurin's if there's a forward tip, he's in position. You have Zach Ertz ready to play volleyball in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is what stands out. It just but I'm not surprised by that because that's kind of what this team has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I start with Jaden's poise just because the presence of mind to know. And because I even asked him at the game, like, when do you know when to throw? He goes, it's just a feel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to feel pretty good to move around like that for that long. I think it was like 12.7 to 12.9 seconds.
Yep.
And then he throws it 65 yards in the air. So they're just it's unbelievable.
Hey, you're kind of speechless by it. It's one of those moments I think you'll always remember where you were when it happened.
Oh, for sure.
You know, certainly an iconic moment at that dump.
For sure. there aren't many iconic moments there. I mean, to be honest, for a long time, one of the most memorable plays there was Gus Frat banging his head on the ball.
I agree. That would be one of the first things that come to my mind.
Yeah, it was one of because like, I was thinking about it. Somebody, I think Michael Phillips, tweeted out like, you know, is there a better play there or something like that, or a moment? Mm-hmm. And I started going through them, and pretty quickly you get to Gus Frat banging his head on the wall.
Yeah,
like that's how bad it's been there, and there aren't a lot of choices to pick from in that. I don't know how you top that. And plus, like to me, Robert's year, there were a couple, right? The run against Vikings, et cetera, the Sean Taylor play against the Cowboys, the blocked field goal. But I think with, you know, where things are at now, after what this fan base had been through under the other owner, like, what an awakening.
What do you think about Jaden's overall performance? First of all, the kid is the coolest cat in the country. I've never seen a guy just more chill, even after this unbelievable play. Doesn't make it all about him. You know, it's just a remarkable kid. And then to go out there and then just play the way he did. I mean, you weren't listening to the broadcast, but Romo kept alluding to he thought that, you know, the arm strength. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, maybe he sailed a throw or he hit one in the dirt, but he's ripping 60-yard throws. I mean, I thought he's running. I thought he looked great.
I thought he played his game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't shy away from anything. It was not his most accurate outing. I mean, he was 21 for 38. It was a really good outing. We have to do these for ESPN. We do our little takeaways, and I had to do like a two-word. You do these two-word description of the game, and my first one was gutsy performance. Now I had to change it to Hail Mary, but but it was, to me, it was a gutsy performance, and just I think you win. He didn't shy from anything. He ran. You know, he's getting up at times, and you could tell that like that play affected him, you know, and it wasn't like he wasn't getting up like, you know, a boxer off the mat in the 10th round, right? It was like he gets up and you're like, oh, you can tell that had to hurt, right? But he doesn't show it that much. And I think you're right, like after the game, when he comes in the media room, like it's another game. And I know it's not for him, but you wonder, like, he doesn't show it as much, because I think he's able to always kind of, you know, keep things in check, never make it about himself.
Yeah.
It's not an act.
Right.
And, you know, you could tell that early on, but so I thought it was really gutsy and to do what he did. And not that he had to win over teammates, because he doesn't, but you know, you bank a lot of coin with games like that where there was some, you know, it was harder than other games. That's
John. What about talk? So at one point I noticed, it looked to me like Bobby Wagner, at least some of those audibles, he was picking them off and relaying them to his guys. He's limited. He's not a sideline to sideline guy, but his impact, I think, we can all see it. Yeah. And it's certainly contributing to the culture. Jaden's contributing to the culture. Zach Ertz. I do think there's a different vibe. Now, winning promotes that, right? That's a huge part of feeling good about yourself and everybody getting along. But, are there other guys in there that we don't – it just seems like literally everyone's buying in.
I would say, like, yes, winning promotes that. I think winning is revealing that because it was there. And this is one of the things that in the spring and the summer, you saw and you could feel it. It was different. And it wasn't just because of all the change. Well, it was because of changes, because they brought these guys in. But the tightness was not just because, oh, it's a new team, it's a new coach, let's be tight. It was just getting the right fit of guys in there. And you could see it. And I remember talking about that and just like, but you don't know, like, what's it going to mean for the season? And because there were so many other things that, like, yeah, they're very tight, they have a great bond. And part of me thought, like, oh, it's too bad they're not ready to win more. But they are, apparently. But, you know, because, like, you saw it, like, but you had questions here, you had questions there. Mm-hmm. What would it mean? It would mean they'd max out. And they're doing that. So I think there's a couple things. One, I think you go back to the quarterback and Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is a guy that these guys would talk about with reverence, the players. Like, in the spring, like, you know, I turn the corner, oh, my God, Bobby Wagner's there. Bobby Wagner is just a normal dude. Like, there's no airs about him in the locker room at all. And I think that goes a long way when you're like them. I think the same thing with Jaden Daniels. If he came in thinking, like maybe others had in the past, like, I'm going to be the savior here, then you walk around differently, and that's not him. You know, then you have guys that you brought in free agency. I think one of the keys in free agency, and this is a good reminder now, and people are going to scream in March if they don't sign the biggest name possible, it's not about big names, it's about fit. And I think one of the things that helped them is that they had a lot of coaches coming from all over, and they had experience with almost all those free agents they brought in. And so you knew the kind of guy you were bringing into the room. Now, I remember talking to Daryl Tapp about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's like you never know, you know the guys you're bringing in, but how are they going to mesh in the room? And it's meshed well. But I think that's a factor, too. It's why I always say, you don't chase names, you chase fit. And they did that. And so I think all of that promotes what you get now. And then, you know, you look at the coaching staff and Dan Quinn, the way they do things, that's all really good. But you also have to have the right guys.
John, kind of getting lost in the Jaden Daniels mania is the season that Terry McLaurin is stringing together. He's fourth in the league in receiving yards. He's ninth in receiving yards per game. He adds 125 to the pile last night. It's kind of crazy what happens when a top wideout gets paired with a star quarterback, right?
I say, boy, look what happened. Look how different. I mean, yeah. The thing for him, too, like, it's always been about building that chemistry and rhythm with a quarterback. And he has felt like that I remember talking to him in the summertime about this. It's just because you could see it building, right? And you could see that it could be something really good. And he talked about him in the spring. I think it was like for 20 minutes he was talking to the media. And a lot of it was about Jaden. And you could just see a different look in his eye. I'm like, oh, my God, obviously I've covered Terry this whole time. I've never seen him talk about a guy like this. And I remember saying something to him the next day as he was on the field, like, you know, like, I haven't seen you like that. He goes, legit. This is in the spring, you know? So like that, you know, they have this rhythm where, I mean, they talk all the time. They text a lot about, you know, what they're seeing if they're watching film and, you know, whatever. And so that communication, you know, is there. And then the other thing is trust. And some of those deep balls, first of all, Jaden's pretty accurate on those. And then secondly, like, he's not afraid to take a shot. And so I think that matters too. But then I would also credit this offense. I mean, it's a nicely designed offense that helps. That's another factor. But man, it goes back to, you have a quarterback who's pretty damn good, and you're, you know, and it's paying off for him.
Hey, John, we were focusing on the positives here with Washington. Can we just make fun of Chicago for a moment?
Please.
Could you believe the play call, the handoff to the big fat offensive lineman? And then I even brought up on that last touchdown drive where they scored, I didn't get first and goal from the one, throw a fade. I didn't get it at all.
I didn't either. It was weird. But yeah, I mean, like, I know that I saw them use that alignment in the past, and it's like, okay, that's interesting. I wonder, like, you know, would more teams do that? But in that situation, I'm not giving it to them. And it's like, you know, and I know, like, that's the Bears, you know, it was Fridge back in the day, but Fridge ain't walking through that door, man. And like, I'm not trusting, when I'm behind in a game, I'm not trusting the old lineman to get it through. Like, I might give him a carry once in a while when you're ahead. You know what I mean? If you're going to try and do that, that was an odd time to give him his first carry. And that certainly helped Washington for sure. But yeah, the fade too, I mean, they hadn't stopped them on the run. The defense was clearly getting tired, and they played really, really well for three quarters, you know, outside of the obvious swift run, but they did a really good job. And that game should have been fairly comfortable for them if the offense had produced in the red zone. But yeah, that play call.
I have to say, I wrote this defense off about the first quarter of the week one. I mean, literally wrote them off. I said, this is unbelievable. But I've been stunned at their improvement. I mean, the professionalism, and Witt clearly knows what he's doing. These guys are invested. Well, I don't know. What do you attribute it? Is it part of it just sort of like benching Forbes and benching some of these other guys, like whatever, getting in and finding the right guys? Like, what's been the key?
I think it just takes time. And keep in mind, like, it's a new system, and you had, like, probably at least half, maybe more, of the defensive, not just starters, but guys who are on the defense would be new. It just doesn't happen right away. And so I think that's a definite part of it. And, you know, you watch, like, just watching the first couple series already this morning, like, guys like Dorrance Armstrong and Fowler and Farrell, like, they help. You know, they're not flashy, you know, all pros, but they're good at what they do. So you got some solid players, but you had to learn how to play together, like all those cliches, but I think they're legit. And here's the other problem. The offense took off right away. Well, to a degree. I mean, the first game is 20 points, second one, 21 points, move the ball, but red zone issues. So I still think there's like room to grow on that offense for sure. And the red zone would be area, but I think with defensively, they didn't have that Jaden Daniels who could just like maybe cover up some issues with just a big play. Right. Mm-hmm. So you had to learn how to play together, but so I think there's a lot of that and you're seeing it now, like you're starting to see more like with some of the pass rushes, some of the things, the sets they're running with it, that they're really growing. So I think, I always felt like you just couldn't expect it right away. They just didn't have that talent base to do that. But even if they did, it still takes a minute to play, to learn how to play together, and for coaches to know what you need to do. I mean, because you really, like, the only benching was Forbes. So it really, it's not a lot different. So it's, but you had Sammer still, who's a rookie, and you have new safeties, and you have it takes a minute. So right. And I think it helps too, like when Luvu starts making plays, and you had Dante Fowler making plays last week, like when guys start making plays, it makes everybody look a little bit better.
Yep, no doubt about it. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, talk always to you next week. Talk to John Keim, ESPN.com. Coming up next, we want to hear from people who are at the game or at home, and your reactions at the moment of the Hail Mary.
Where were you? Mm-hmm.
Describe the scene.
Right.
I told you our buddy Big Keith, who calls into the show from time to time. He called me like an hour later.
In years.
Yeah. He was fired up, sending me pictures from the game. If you were there, tell us what it was like. Heck, one of our tweeters, he tweets all the time. I only know his name from Twitter. He said that the donk was yelling at him.
Yeah,
he might have been woofing Shane Preacher.
Tyreek Stevenson?
Yes, okay. That Tyreek Stevenson was woofing at him.
Mm-hmm.
That he was doing the trash talking. So 800-636-1067. Or give us your reaction from home. We want to hear from you next as we take your calls on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers.mios.com.
To the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
And
it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into Bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left.
I mean, is it really that crushing? The Bears, they had a lead for all of about 10 or 15 seconds of the game.
Right.
Okay? Like, they thought they had won the game. So I get it. It's disappointing. Is it really crushing? I guess
yes.
You lose on a Hail Mary. It is crushing.
Yes, it is crushing.
All good. You know what? Good. I'm glad they're feeling sorrow and disappointment
and of course,
in Chicago. That's great.
And, of course, Tyreek Stevenson was the player who was taunting the crowd.
Yeah.
Maybe our listener, Shane Preacher, who tweets us all the time. He had to apologize to his teammates. He took to Instagram and wrote, Chicago and teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. improvement will happen.
Automatic focus.
Yeah, cakes.
He's gonna have to live with that one.
I just went in
for a long while.
Guaranteed Valdez a victory in his fantasy football matchup, jinxing him. So I kind of feel like the Tyreek Stevenson of the studio right now.
I mean,
I'm just gonna act like it didn't happen.
It's one thing to be taunting the fans and everything. I mean, quite whatever. But to have your back turned to the play for like the first 3 seconds of it,
he can't imagine.
He just unbelievable. He
can't imagine exactly what it's like in the film room.
He said,
yeah, "It's over."
He said, "This is a Hail Mary. They're not gonna convert on this. I don't have to take this last gasper seriously." Well, yeah. Turns out you did, because Washington has a wizard and a magician on their side, and his name's Jaden Daniels.
Well, and he's the one who tipped the ball too,
right? He was the one.
He ran over from the left side and tried to knock it down and couldn't do it.
Yeah, how about he's most directly responsible for the Bears' loss?
I actually think
right to Noah Brown.
They could have let the Commanders probably catch it. It would have been on the 2 yard line,
right?
And then tackle. That was the worst possible outcome.
No, you're taught to smash it down.
Of course, what you want
to
do.
They're taught to like volleyball spike it.
Yeah,
but he just casually tipped it right into the waiting arms of Noah Brown.
All right, we wanted to hear from listeners. What was the reaction in your home or if you were at the game? Cake said his basement was,
it was
crazy.
It was full-on chaos.
How many are down there watching?
It was everybody that was home. It was my wife, my two kids, my son's girlfriend, and our dog, Winnie. And we terrified Winnie because everybody's screaming. And going, right. It was calm, obviously, before.
Does your wife watch?
She watches.
Oh, yeah. Stunning.
Everybody just erupted. High fives, hugging, screaming, dog running around in a circle in the basement because she didn't know what was going on. She doesn't know the stakes. She doesn't know it was number one versus number two drafted. Well, one's clearly better than the other, at least 8 games through their rookie seasons. Dog had no idea. She was terrified.
Right.
She thought the house was about to collapse. But it was, I mean, I'm sure that scene was repeated all over the D.C. area.
All right, let's go to Ron, Upper Marlboro. Ron, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Jumps? How y'all doing?
Doing great. Right. Where were you?
Oh, man, so I was at the game, man, Section 138, down there where it happened. But I'm a little pissed. But I'm excited. We enjoy the game, man.
Why are you pissed?
Back in the stadium. I was with my son. But, man, you know, when they scored, it was 23 seconds left. We started walking out.
Oh!
And I will never do that again. We walked out with 23 seconds left.
Trying to beat the traffic.
I'm in the parking lot.
I've been there, man.
We hit a crowd roaring. I'm looking at my son saying, no! No, we just missed it. And I was so happy. And to hear the crowd before, man. But it was awesome, man. It was awesome.
You know what? You're going to carry that with you for the rest of your life.
Have you guys ever done that?
Devastating.
Has it ever happened to you in a sporting
event? A gigantic playoff like that?
Didn't you do that for a Nats playoff game?
I've left a million games early.
Yeah, but I don't think like with something that big happening.
No, I feel like EB did it for a Nats playoff game.
Oh, yeah. I think he left.
Or you
left on purpose before the loss.
Yeah,
I mean, I could see it crumbling when Storm came in. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, guys, with this quarterback we got, and I owe him an apology because I knew something could happen, and I shouldn't have left. I'll never do that again.
Did you even try to fight it at all, or no? You just were ready to go to the parking lot.
My son was with me. He lives way in Fredericksburg, and he's like, "Dad, come on, get out of here for the traffic."
Oh, Fredericksburg, that's brutal.
Let's go up top. Let's watch it on the monitor. And I shoot it through a pass that the earth to someone is incomplete. I said, let's go. Man, we walking out of the parking lot. We hear this big roar. I'm like, what did he just do? Get a 5-10 yard pass? And we are going crazy outside the stadium. Bears fans are looking like, what just happened? I'm like, whoa. We were speechless, man.
Right.
But it was awesome, man. This team, they're back. I'll never walk out on Jaden Daniels and his team again, man.
Ron, were there a lot of people who had your idea or trying to beat traffic?
Yeah, it was. Well, the row we were in, about 8 of us just started leaving.
Right.
Eight people just started leaving, man, because, you know, we want to get ahead of the traffic. And you figure with 23 seconds left, it's over.
Yeah.
But not with JD.
Right.
God.
Right.
I was there. I'm happy.
Yeah, lesson learned.
Are you really getting that far ahead of the traffic by leaving 23
seconds
early?
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like you're going to leave. You leave with like 2-3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
With 23 seconds, you might as well ride it out.
23 seconds, you might as well just stay.
Yeah, I mean, you're committed at that point.
You make Maryland basketball games I've left?
like with a couple minutes left, just sprinting to my car back to the old Coalfield House.
Right.
Because otherwise you'd be stuck there
Know,
for 30, 40 minutes. So I can't remember an iconic moment, but certainly I've missed comebacks. All right, let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Robert, what's up?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
sure. Right, so here's the play-by-play. So I'm sitting down on my couch. My wife and my son, they've already walked out, disgruntled, upset, all that.
Right.
They go to the bedroom. I'm left with my daughter. You know, her. She's like, you know, we're super, super tight. So she's not leaving. She's riding with me to the end. Jaden throws the bomb, 65 yards. And, you know, the Tom Brady LFG going down the field. Mm-hmm. I did that for about 20 seconds, okay? And then, I kid you not, boys, I fell to the ground. I thought I was having a bit of a medical issue, okay? And so, I'm 34 years old, okay? I'm 34 years old. So you do the math on that, okay? I shouldn't be having issues. And so I go down. My daughter runs over, and she says, Daddy, are you okay? Are you okay?
Right.
I said, yes, Lucy, I'm great, more than great. And I give her a hug. And we hugged for like 10, 15 seconds or something. I didn't tear up, but I was close to it. But by far, 34 years of age, that's not shocking to you guys, but that's the best moment in Skins history for me.
Right.
Yeah,
Cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very cool. Well, hopefully there's a lot more to come here, man.
Yeah.
Hang in there. All right. Thank you, buddy.
He was having heart palpitations.
Yeah, hey, I feel that, man. All right, let's go to Walter. Walter, what's up, bud? Where were you?
Hey, guys. Oh, my goodness. So, ACTC, anyway, I was in my living room with my son. The girls are upstairs. My daughter's a super fan, but she's skeptical because of, you know, what could happen. And like I said, me and my son was in the living room. We stood up. We stayed standing up. Man, when we got that tip ball and they scored, we went crazy. We hugged each other. We jumped up and down with each other. He cried. I teared up. It was amazing, man. I was so ecstatic, man. If you don't have a moment like that with a family member, especially your son, for wanting to be a commander all his life and us, all he wants to do is see us win, and for us to be 6-2 and to get that Hail Mary, forget about it, guys. This is a glorious Monday. I love it. We got highlights all week. I don't care if it's the same highlights.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You'll watch that for over
I was
and
trying
over
to explain this. You know, look, my
thanks
kids,
for the call.
My kids, our kids know what we do for a living, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, my daughter was on the phone. She's up at Cornell. And we were giving her the password so she could watch the fourth quarter. And she was on the phone. And then she was excited. We're all excited. And I was like, you guys don't understand. This changed the dynamic of my week.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, it totally changes our week. And it's not just me, but, like, for fans of the team. It changes your whole – especially when you feel like you're starting to win. And that's what it used to be around here,
so
man.
My oldest son is 27. He's never seen this team win anything, any sort of sustained success. So he's driving to work yesterday. He's driving to his shift at the hospital. And he's listening to it as he's driving, and he gets out of his car right before, like, a play or two before the Hail Mary, thinking it's over, you know, like, not going to win. Walks into the hospital, checks his phone, saw the Commanders won, and he was pumped. Like, he's calling us, like, you know, he's about to go do, like, a 12 or 14-hour shift. Like, that probably got him through his shift.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it totally energized him.
And look.
Like, it's just – you can't describe how big of a play that was and what this team being 6-2 means to the area.
And
it's
I brought
huge.
It up before, the math. Pro Football Focus put it out.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose and they fall to 5-3, their playoff probability is 48%. Mm-hmm. The win, lifting them to 6-2, playoff probability 77%.
It's amazing.
It's a massive difference.
Sure.
Well,
huge.
I still think they would have gotten there potentially. I think it's not over. We could swoon. I still think they would have gotten there.
We saw it with Zorn. We saw a second half swoon, but I don't think it's happening with this team.
But 6-2 just sounds so much more dominant than 5-3. It's not even close.
Just feels better.
It just feels way better.
Feels amazing.
It's the second best record in the conference.
Right.
Second best record in the conference. That's what they are. Now, like I said earlier, I think there are a bunch of teams that you could make an argument for in the NFC that are kind of all in kind of the same bag, like the Packers, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Commanders, heck, the Falcons. Kirk Cousins had a 4-touchdown game. But the Commanders are in there. I'd only put Detroit above them at 6-1. Definitively.
I haven't gone. I'm trying not to compare us to others yet. Yeah. I just want to just knock out dubs.
You know what? You're just reveling in the wins and the dubs.
We have a tough game in the sense that it's a division rival, but I'll be disappointed if we don't find a way to win this week.
Right. To get to 7-2.
Get to 7. Let's just keep stacking dubs, Cakes.
Yep. It's a good thing.
800-636-1067. We'll continue taking your calls. Where were you for the Hail Mary? What was your reaction? Were you at the game? We'd love to hear from you. Or at home? Describe the scene. 800-636-1067. It's a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Hey, starting tomorrow at 9 a.m., Brian Robinson is going to join the Junkies, replacing Jonathan Allen. Look, we love Jonathan Allen. He's been great on the show. He got hurt.
Yep.
Next man up, Robinson.
B Rob. 9 a.m. You don't want to miss that. Also,
he's averaging 4.6 yards per carry this year, having a good year. But, you know, Jaden Daniels is great, and we are focusing on the Hail Mary. Jaden Daniels has now run for 424 yards.
Yep.
Brian Robinson, who's their leading rusher, has only eclipsed him by 40 yards.
Yep.
B-Rob, who's having a nice year, has run for 461, which I believe is 18th in the NFL. Jaden Daniels is right behind him. He ran for 52 yards yesterday. That's 424. He's on pace for over 900 yards right now.
And he missed a big chunk, obviously, of last week's game, too.
Yep.
Also, happy birthday to John Paul Flame.
That's right. Happy birthday, buddy. I remember that last night.
Joined Studio 54 today.
Yes.
Welcome.
I joined you old guys.
Yeah, here you go.
It ain't that bad. I just have a torn labrum, arthritis. And,
that's all.
You know. I poop a lot.
Yeah, well, clearly, yes.
All right, let's bang out these calls.
But you got to celebrate a win. It is Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Want to hear from you. Describe the scene for you and your family if you were at the game for the Hail Mary.
All right, let's go. Let me see. We're just going to go in order here. Let's go to...
I was actually surprised before we get to the goal. We took Winnie for a walk after we traumatized her, screaming about Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary.
Right.
I thought that there might be, like, people like running around outside and celebrating, but I didn't see it. It was a regular season game.
It is the Bears. Not a playoff game. They're just the Bears.
But, like,
it's not getting too
crazy.
It
was such a massive play.
It was late at night, though.
I mean, it was like...
It's getting dark early now.
It was definitely dark.
It was dark early.
It was like 7:30. We took her for a walk around the block. I thought there might be some outside of the house commander celebrating. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I thought
there might be.
If it was
a
1 o'clock game and the game ends at 4:15 that way, maybe you see that, but I don't think at 7:30 at night you're going to see that.
Thought we might.
In the suburbs of Olney.
Well, we used to see it. JP knows this very well. You know, we used to do like Valdez and Adina, they would do the pots and pans bit, you know, after a Super Bowl win or something.
Yep.
My brother ran around playing the trumpet, hail the Redskins on the trumpet in the neighborhood.
That's a great bit.
You know, be like 11 o'clock at night or whatever, start playing the trumpet. That we're getting back. Like, I'm not saying we're going to win Super Bowls. I'm just saying we're getting back to that era.
That sort of aura, that feeling.
And I do want to come out with a t-shirt to make football fun again. And I give it all credit to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He's making football fun again here in this area.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Tony in D.C. Tony, what's up?
Good morning, Junkies. Listen, I was at the game, and I didn't leave.
Good for you.
And that's why I don't have a voice this morning, because I was screaming. When the Bears scored their last score,
right?
It was a lot of Bears fans there, Junkies, a lot of them. And they got a little cocky, just kept saying, let's go Bears. And they thought they had the game in hand. So when Jaden scrambled and threw the ball in the air, we was like, oh, this is going to get intercepted. We're going to lose this darn game. And when my man took the ball and Noah Brown caught that ball, man, pandemonium, the whole stadium, man. And I was looking at all the Bears fans. They was looking like, what in the world just happened?
Right.
And everything. They had a sour look on their face. I just wanted to stick it to them so bad, but they were feeling so bad enough. I was like, y'all just wallowed and just lost.
Good. You didn't knock anybody out, did you? Like the Valdez's Ravens fans like
man,
to do?
No. I did have my fist balled up just in case.
Right. Because I will say, that game was chippy.
Thanks, pal.
And no doubt that game was chippy, and I wondered if there would be any shenanigans afterwards. With some of the fans being a little overzealous. Thank God it doesn't sound like there were. Maybe there were, but we didn't
Commanders 4-0 at home so far.
That's right. They actually have a home field advantage now, which for years you could say they had a home field disadvantage.
What was the technical number? I mean, was it short of a shy of a sellout?
I don't know the exact number. I can look it up.
I think that would be a super well attended game.
It looked Caleb pretty crowded, Jayden.
Yeah,
and it sounded pretty damn loud even before the Hail Mary.
Listed at 64,704.
What's this? Can you look and see what official sellout is, Mar? Yeah, I got Mar on it. Let's go to Shane. Shane, what's up, buddy? Where were you?
Happy Victory Monday, guys.
Yes, same to you.
Hey, I was the guy in the front row that Stevenson was yapping at.
How do you know?
Because he looked at me and I told him to shut the F up, and he told me to go the F home. I mean, he was yapping the entire time he was out there.
Right.
And then that Hail Mary happened, guys, and I have never hugged so many strangers in my life.
Right.
I wanted to jump on the field and run, but, you know, I don't want to get arrested at the same time. But, man, my adrenaline was that high. But, yeah, he was definitely yapping at me and in my section, for sure, 100%.
Do you have video evidence of, like, any of your friends with a phone or anything like that?
I did not record it. I wish I did, but I was just so down. I thought it was over, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I was sitting down. But the best part is, too, Bears fans were telling him to turn around. Like, turn around. It was hilarious. It was great.
That is funny.
Big dummy. Hey, by the way, it looked like from the picture I saw, were you wearing, like, some big, like, gold necklace, like, fake gold necklace thing? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah, it was a big necklace with the Commander's logo on it, and it lights up. I didn't have it lit up at the time, but yeah, that's what I was wearing.
You need one of those, EB.
Yeah,
what's funny
one.
Is we're Shane tweets us often, right? Yeah. You tweet us all the time.
Oh yeah, I love your show, man.
I don't know that I'd ever seen you. It's weird when you actually see somebody that you've just seen like a Twitter handle for years.
Mm-hmm.
So appreciate it, Shane.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, no problem. Hey, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Shane only exists in the virtual world.
Yes.
Not like a real person.
Hey, it's like, whoa, there's an actual guy there.
Is that going to be Shane's claim to fame? That, you know, like, does his big achievement in life is that he was the guy that...
That's a pretty good one.
It is a pretty good one. Yeah.
Put that in your Twitter bio.
Let's go to Ron in Sterling. Ron, what's up?
Gents, that was absolutely amazing. So my wife got me tickets for my birthday. I was at the game.
Right.
Wife got tickets for us for my birthday. And I have not been to a game in years and years. I mean, Schneider years, cheap tickets, missed all of that. And I went to this game, surprised, got tickets over the weekend. We went and we stayed through everything. And that crowd, that team, everything went insane. The field got filled up with people. Strangers hugging each other, falling, literally falling backwards in their seats, beer spilling everywhere, people going nuts. Absolutely, absolutely game of a lifetime. Absolutely loved it.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Patrick in Fredericksburg. Patrick, where were you, bud?
So I was at home, and happy Miracle Monday, guys. How about that?
Yeah,
that
like
was unbelievable.
It. Yeah.
So, 2-minute warning. I have a 1-year-old daughter, so wife's putting her to bed. I, you know, give her a kiss, good night, go downstairs, and then obviously everything that happens. And my daughter's bedroom's right above the basement, and I'm screaming my lungs out. My wife comes down. No, we just put her down. Don't wait. And I'm like, you know, shaking. I don't know about you guys, but thoughts through my head of, I don't want to hear how Caleb Williams is so good. I want to hear how he came alive in the fourth. I don't want to hear how he's better than Jayden. Like, all these anger emotions about a freaking Ron pick messing up the game with Benjamin St. Juice. And and then all of that was erased by we win. I almost felt, I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I almost felt still, like, angry that, like, we lost, but we won. It was that weird emotional, like, did we actually win that game?
Somebody asked me that on Twitter. They said, because you know how we debate whether or not we believe in moral victories or not. I personally think sometimes there are instances, certainly, where there are moral victories. He said, is there a moral loss? Because you got the dub, but you probably should have lost it. It was just a Hail Mary that you stole.
No, that's swept away.
My thought process is, like, the team never gave up, right? You know, with 23 seconds left, we're still making plays to Terry to go to make that you know, that Hail Mary even an option. So if it's a moral, you know what I mean? We've been on – the football is a game of luck sometimes too, guys, and sometimes you're on the wrong – we've been on the wrong side for so long. We've found ways to lose games for my whole life, you know what I mean? So it feels good to have, you know, a victory. And, yeah, I understand what, there's holes. There's, we didn't play our best game, but at the same time, the team never gave up. They believed in Jaden, and they had to, you know, I'll give it to Cliff too. They prepped him for that last play. So, hail to the Commanders. Miracle victory Monday. Thanks again for taking my call.
All right, thank you, buddy. You know, I was thinking about it as I was driving in. I bet you, and for no reason, I bet you Ron is patting himself on the back and thinking,
how could he?
And thinking, yeah, I set the culture. I set the table for these guys. And now they're coming in. I bet
Ron is not that delusional.
Even though we got rid of all his guys,
he can't take credit for what's happening.
We've been cutting all his draft picks. I wouldn't be surprised, man.
EB, I was looking at the attendance. The 64,000 was 1,000 more than the Carolina Panthers game. I don't know what the sellout capacity is
Did
now.
Did you find anything more?
And yep. The Giants game was like 61,000.
Yeah.
67,000.
So we're 3,000 shy.
Yep.
Pretty close, though.
A little more than that.
Pretty freaking close.
I'm going to guess the next game, home game,
what's the next home one? Is it
next
Pittsburgh?
Home game is.
Do we go to Pittsburgh?
No. Pittsburgh is here.
Pittsburgh's here.
So I think it's at the Giants. And
then Pittsburgh.
I'm pretty sure that's the sked, yeah.
So that's the one.
Yep.
That one, we deserve a sellout. Especially if we could, you know, find a way to stay calm,
mm-hmm.
and beat the Giants.
Get to 7-2.
Get to 7-2. We should have a sellout.
That's the mission.
Yeah.
It's always fun to celebrate on a Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.